You're listening to the Lakers Talk Podcast presented by Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm are huge Laker fans, and we're excited and proud to partner with and sponsor the Lakers Talk Podcast. So if you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
710 ESPN. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
It's my obligation, it's my job to continue to pass on the game to the guys that's coming in after me. No one told me to do that. I just feel like it's just my responsibility.
Your city, your station, your Lakers.
You know, anybody that says that LeBron, why would he do that while he's playing? It's a show and sign of weakness. And, you know, he's buddy-buddy with the guys that he's going against. Tell him to kiss my ass.
Lakers Talk is on.
With a smile, too.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
Let him know, LeBron. Let him know. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Lakers in at 46-13. 2.5 hours of Los Angeles Lakers basketball talk. 2.5 hours of Lakers talk tonight. As always, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Would love for you guys to be a part of the show. Got some great topics. Just give everybody a quick idea of what we're going to do tonight. Lakers number one record in the Western Conference, 46 wins on the season. What does it all mean if you've lost to the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Clippers in the past? The beauty is you got a chance to redeem yourself this week. So we're going to talk about the upcoming games this week. Also, who should have that last roster spot for the Lakers? Lakers worked out J.R. Smith, Dion Waiters. By the way, are we making too big of a deal about one spot left on a roster? Troy Daniels was let go yesterday, waived yesterday, so it gives him an opportunity to come join back in with another playoff team. And then also a little bit later in the show, MVP chatter, LeBron, Giannis. Only one MVP trophy really counts. We'll talk about that. And I think you guys know what I'm referring to. If you listen to me and MT in the pregame show, Michael Thompson always talks about the only MVP trophy that counts is the finals MVP. And he's absolutely right on that. But we'll hit on all these topics. I want to start off the show. How big is this week for the Los Angeles Lakers? How big is it? Ireland was just mentioning, obviously, the Philadelphia 76ers game that kind of lost its thunder. No Ben Simmons, no Joel Embiid, but the Sixers did beat the Lakers, actually without Joel Embiid, in Philadelphia. That was a double-digit loss for the Lakers, so hopefully the Lakers can just kind of take care of business on Tuesday, get the Philadelphia 76ers out of the way, and then prep for 2 days against the number one team in the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks right now, if you look at the standings, you don't got to look very far. They're right at the top. 52-8, best record in the NBA. Second best record in the NBA is the Los Angeles Lakers at 46-13. I want to highlight what the Lakers have accomplished so far this year, and then I want to talk about what is missing on that resume. And then I'll let you guys tell me if you think this is a critical week for the Lakers. Does it have implications that could leak into the postseason, or no? We're just in March. Everybody relax. You don't get trophies for winning games in March. But this is what the Lakers have accomplished so far this year. Number one record in the West. You've taken care of business versus pretty much every elite team in the Western Conference, except the Clippers. I'll get to the Clippers in a second, all right? But you've won at Denver twice. You've won in Utah. You've taken care of the Houston Rockets. Yes, they got one here as well. But obviously, you and the Rockets, you've beat them. You've taken care of even some of these teams like the Portland Trailblazers on the road, always a tough place to play. You got two. At San Antonio, you got two there as well. If you guys remember this, Lakers went on a 18-game road winning streak versus the Western Conference. I don't know if we're ever going to see that stat ever happen again. That just is a compliment to how the Lakers have been, not just at home, but on the road, 25-6 this year on the road. I can keep going, you know, down the list of accomplishments the Lakers have had this year. LeBron James having an MVP type of season. Anthony Davis should be the defensive player of the year. We can keep going down that list. But every single time we start talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, and every time we start talking about the Lakers resume, there's a couple buts that stand out, right? There's a couple question marks that stand out about what the Lakers have accomplished this year. On December 19th, the Lakers were in Milwaukee, taking on the Bucks. 111-104, Lakers lost. They pretty much lost the game. I'm gonna take you guys back to that game real quick. Lost the game in the first half. By the end of the first half, Lakers were down 65-46. They were down 19. Giannis had 34 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Probably something he won't do ever again in his career. Part of me is sarcastic on this. 5 of 8 from the 3-point line. Typically for Giannis, you want to encourage him to take the three. He was hitting the three, hit 5 threes against the Lakers in that game. AD stepped up 36-10, also had 3 block shots. LeBron had a triple-double, but the Lakers lost to the Milwaukee Bucks. That's one of the question marks. Everything that the Lakers have accomplished this year, it seems like fans and the media and myself, we always say, okay, it's been a great season, but you lost to the Milwaukee Bucks. All good. You got another shot against the Bucks coming up this Friday. Another one of those question marks on the Lakers' resume. You lost to the Los Angeles Clippers on Christmas, December 25th. I'm not one to harp on that opening day game. I'm really not. That opening day game to start off the season back in October, I think both franchises were really trying to figure things out. I think it was a tie game walking into that fourth quarter, 85-85 or 87-87, something like that. Danny Green was going off like crazy. Clippers got the win. But the game on Christmas, that one meant something. Lakers lost 111-106. They were outscored 60-43 in the second half. They were outscored by 12 just in that third quarter. Lakers had, if you guys remember, in the second half, Lakers had a 15-point lead, and that obviously that went away. Kawhi had 35 points and 12 rebounds. AD, 24-6, 2 steals and 2 blocks. LeBron, 23-10-9. One stat that stands out in that game, AD took 6 threes, 1 of 6. LeBron took 12 threes, 2 of 12. So here's a question I want to ask Laker fans out there. As great as the Lakers have been this season, I've been calling it since the All-Star break. I calling them these redeem games, right? These revenge games Lakers got in their schedule, specifically coming up in March. And here we are now in March. They already got one that they took against the Boston Celtics. That's after the Celtics obviously beat them at the TD Garden in Boston. You got another kind of redeem game tomorrow against the Philadelphia 76ers. But the only two games we all really care about and we all believe could have some kind of impact towards the Lakers as we get closer to the postseason is the game against the Bucks and the Clippers. So this is a question I want to ask Laker fans out there. How important are winning these games this week? How critical are they? Are these games you think that can leak into the postseason? You think from a mental perspective, if the Lakers win them, it helps them as we get into a 7-game set against the Clippers in the postseason, or if you're in the finals against the Bucks, to obviously go on a 7-game stretch against the Bucks. How critical are these next 2 games for the Lakers? Put Philly to the side. Lakers will handle business tomorrow. How big is the game on Friday? How big is the game on Sunday? Phone number is 877-710-ESPN, or am I hyping them up too much? When we come back, I'll give you guys my thoughts. We'll also take your guys' phone calls. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. You're listening to the Lakers Talk podcast presented by Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm are huge Laker fans, and we're excited and proud to partner with and sponsor the Lakers Talk podcast. So if you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
I mean, how are these not critical, critical games coming up on Friday and Sunday for the Lakers? How are they not? I mean, I have a difficult time trying to convince myself that, okay, you know what, look, these are just 2 regular season games. The path to an NBA championship, the path to number 17 is going to mean that you cross paths with the Los Angeles Clippers at some point in the playoffs. Most likely, you have to imagine that the Clippers, who are starting to play better basketball, look like they're healthy. You know, Paul George, Patrick Beverley actually playing in some of these games. You have to imagine they're going to try and make their push for that number 2 seed. So your thought process is to get to an NBA championship and to win an NBA championship this year, You're going to have to beat the Clippers, and you're going to have to beat the Bucks. And if you're the Clippers, you're saying the same thing. You're going to have to beat the Lakers, then you're going to have to beat the Bucks. We're assuming that the Bucks come out of the Eastern Conference, and we're assuming that the Clippers handle business, Lakers handle business. They face each other at some point in the postseason, most likely the Western Conference Finals. I don't look at them. I really, really don't look at these two games coming up as just regular season games. Normal games, no big deal. You get it, you get it. You don't, it's all good. You're not winning a championship anyways in March. But I can also see people make the case and try and downplay these games. Let's put it that way. I don't downplay them. I really, really don't. I don't downplay them at all. Clippers, that game on Christmas, I thought the Lakers should have won. That game on Christmas was a message, if you want to call it anything, by the Clippers that, okay, just remember, we're now 2-0 against you, and we got one on your home turf. This game coming up on Sunday against the Clippers, that one's going to be, you know, technically a road game for the Lakers. Probably over 50% of the fan base is going to be Lakers, but technically it's a road game. I think these two games against the Bucks and the Clippers are very important for the Lakers. I really, really do. I think from a psychological perspective, from that standpoint, it's key. It's important. Do you want to walk into the playoffs? By the time we get into April 9th, that's the last time the Lakers will play the Los Angeles Clippers. By the time we get to April 9th, I don't feel like either team is going to be playing their guys full strength. I mean, unless the Clippers are really, really fighting for a playoff seed, hopefully by then, not a playoff seed, but a specific seed in the playoffs. Hopefully by then the Lakers have just the Western Conference completely locked up and are just getting their guys rested and getting them healthy for that long run in the postseason, hopefully into deep June. But do you really want to go at the end of this week if you lost to the Bucks? Just that mentality, that thought process of saying, man, as good as our resume has been, we're 0-2 against the Bucks, or as good as our resume has been, we're 0-3 against the Los Angeles Clippers. That has to stick in your mind. I've been looking forward actually to the month of March, because I felt like this is going to be a much more accurate barometer of where the Lakers are. Look, the Lakers are balling. You don't win 46 games at this point of the season unless you're doing a lot of things right. You don't have a 46-13 record, 21-7 at home and 25-6 on the road unless you're dominating teams, unless you're finding ways to win against bad teams, good teams, a little bit of everything. And the Lakers have done that. Last night was a perfect example against the Pelicans. Lakers play in New Orleans. Anthony Davis is a late scratch. I was doing the pregame show with Mike Trudell, filling in for Michael Thompson, and AD a late scratch, Caruso a late scratch, and here comes LeBron James against a desperate, desperate Pelicans team. Pelicans have to get a win. It's so critical for them to kind of stay right in that push for the number 8 seed with the Memphis Grizzlies. Lakers come out 122-114. That's a big time win. And Lakers have had plenty of big time wins. The one thing hurting them on their resume is the Bucks loss and the Clippers loss. That's it. I don't think anything else matters on this Lakers schedule. Of course, they're going to still rack up a ton of games. They went 9-2 in the month of February. You have 14 games total in the month of March. You're already 1-0. But these two games coming up for the Lakers after tomorrow's game against Philly, the Bucks and the Los Angeles Clippers, to me, I think it's critical. All right, Laker fans, we'll take some phone calls here. How important are winning these games this week? Are they critical for the postseason? Are they critical for the psyche of the Lakers? Or do you think it's regular season? I'm blowing it too much out of proportion. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Lance in Tustin, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Lance.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for your word.
Appreciate you calling in, man.
I agree. I mean, they're important games, but they're not critical, to use your words. We've lost, obviously, as you mentioned, we've also lost to Philly. I think the most important game this week is really with Milwaukee, because we need to see some success defensively with that team. As you mentioned, we got pretty much blown out of that game. So that would be nice to see, even if it's close and competitive. Do we need to win all three, 2-3, 3-3? No. But that success is huge, I think, against Milwaukee. Win or lose, we got to be competitive. Clippers, as you mentioned, we should have blown that them out second half.
We had it, right?
Well,
yep.
Yeah, we didn't shoot well, especially from the three. So I'm not too worried about the Clippers. I feel like that would be a 6-7 game run anyways. Whoever's hot is going to win that series. But it'd be nice to see some success against Milwaukee. That's my perspective.
So you, Lance, just, so you think the Bucks game more important than the Clippers game for you?
Yeah, because we've shown we can beat the Clippers, not literally, but obviously that game we outplayed them. We just kind of blew it, kind of wet the bed, as they say, in the third quarter, as we often do sometimes. But we had no success against Milwaukee that entire game, it felt like. So it'd be nice to see them show that defensively and to make some critical shots.
Appreciate
you getting the flow.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, Lance. 877-710-ESPN. I got to disagree on that one. Definitely, if I'm picking between one of the two games, I want to see the Lakers beat the Clippers much more than I want to see them beat the Bucks. This Clippers thing, this kind of rivalry in L.A., when I say rivalry, I mean two teams that got to collide. They got to face each other at some point to get to the NBA Finals. That's real. It's definitely real. And these two franchises, you know, are going to collide. I'd love to see the Lakers get one against the Clippers at some point this year, and April 9th won't matter because I think both teams will be in a position where they're just trying to prep for the playoffs. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. How important do you think these games are this week? Are they critical for the Lakers as we move closer to the postseason to beat the Los Angeles Clippers, to beat the Milwaukee Bucks? More of your guys' phone calls. We come back. Appreciate you guys tuning in. 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. You know, we're not that far away from the postseason. Last month of March will be the final full regular season of the regular season, full month of the regular season. April, just nine games. Nine games were in the postseason. So the conversation we're having right now is how critical is this week for the Lakers? How critical is this week? Philadelphia, Lakers will handle. How confident I am. We better handle it. I've done this before where I come out too cocky and bad things happen, but we'll handle the Philadelphia 76ers. No Ben Simmons, no Joel Embiid. But I'm just kind of focusing in on that game on Friday against the Milwaukee Bucks and Sunday at 12:30 on ABC against the Los Angeles Clippers. It'd be a Clippers home game, by the way. I think they're critical. I really, really do. As much as we talk about, well, it's just regular season, and what does it matter? What does it mean? You don't think the Pelicans right now are thinking about the Lakers and saying, man, we got no shot against this team. They swept us 4-0 so far this regular season. I think it does play into your psyche. Now, it's different because the Pelicans are such a young team. It's the Lakers got just a ton of veterans. Put it this way. If the Lakers lost to the Bucks and the Clippers or the Bucks and the Clippers, I don't feel like the Lakers are going to walk into the postseason and say, oh my gosh, we have no chance. But the regular season is a barometer. It says something of where you're at. The regular season does kind of talk about, okay, we know against these teams we match up well. We know against those teams we got to improve on this, that, or this, or whatever the case is. I mean, I don't know how, as a Laker fan, I can only speak for myself, right? I can only speak for myself and say that it doesn't sit well the Lakers are 0-2 against the Clippers. Forget the first game. It doesn't sit well that the last time the Lakers played the Clippers, they lost and it was a Lakers home game. That doesn't sit well. Rosters are different now. Markieff Morris a part of the Lakers. Marcus Morris, not just a part of the Clippers, but in the starting lineup. At least he was in the starting lineup yesterday. I know the rosters are different now. Lakers have had a lot more time to kind of, I guess you can say, prep and gain more chemistry, as have sort of the Clippers, but they've had a lot of guys that have been out. This week means something to me. As a fan of this team, I do look at this week as a measuring stick, and I love everything that we've accomplished this year. But the two things you haven't accomplished is getting a W against the Clippers and getting a W against the Bucks. The beauty about this week, you have a chance to redeem yourself by the time this Sunday rolls around. All right, more of you guys' phone calls. Agree or disagree? 877-710-ESPN. I think these games coming up are big for the Los Angeles Lakers. Whether you agree or disagree, you can obviously make your claim on Lakers Talk. Let's go to Adam in West Covina. Adam, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, what's up, man? First time caller, big fan of the show.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, huge Laker fan. Yeah, like I was saying earlier, I'm a I honestly want them to beat the brakes off the Clippers and the Bucks too.
We just get a couple. Really, can we get a couple blowouts, Adam? Are we asking for too much for just lay the wood on Friday and Sunday? I'm not asking for too much.
Exactly. You know, hell, lay a 30 burger on them. That's what I say. You know, lay a 30 burger on them. Probably won't happen, but hey, one can only hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like I was saying earlier too, like I want them to beat the both the Clippers and the Lakers, and I'm not worried about the Sixers at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's as much of a red flag as some other people may freak out about, only because of what I was saying earlier, that we have so much veteran leadership on this team that I feel like even if guys, like some of the younger talent, starts to like, oh man, you know, it affect their psyche. Guys like Rondo, LeBron, Danny Green,
Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee.
Yeah, Dwight. These guys are all battle tested. They've won titles and stuff. So they're not gonna let the young guys be like, hey, young buck, you know, it's just relax. You know, once the playoffs get here, we're gonna run through these guys.
You know, Adam, I by the way, appreciate you calling in for the first time. If you've never called into a radio show, you've never called into this show, always feel free to. That's that's part of the beauty of doing a solo show, is I could spend a ton of time talking to, obviously to listeners out there. So 877-710-ESPN. Look, this is where I disagree. I'm not worried about the young players to begin with. You know, the young guys, let's say the Kyle Kuzmas or the Quinn Cooks, I'm not worried about those players. I'm just talking about talent, right? Like, from a talent perspective, from a mental perspective, a lot of the game, think about whatever it is you do at your craft, a lot of it has to do with the mental perspective, the mental side of things, less to do with the actual physical part. I don't want the Clippers to have a mental edge over the Lakers. And if they beat the Lakers on Sunday, I feel like they will have a mental edge. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they have a mental edge? They're going to think in their mind, okay, we're good on the Lakers. That doesn't mean they're not going to have to, you know, obviously bring it come playoff time, but at least they know in their mind, we've gone up against them three times. We took all three games. Rather, if the Lakers get this game on Sunday, okay, now you at least create a little bit of doubt in the Clippers' mind, and you gain some more confidence if you're the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's go to the Bucks game. Bucks game on Friday. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. Bucks in that game against the Lakers back on December 19th, they were up 19 in the first half. They were up 19. I cannot tell you how much I expect the Lakers to have a double-digit type of performance. The way the Bucks served the Lakers in Milwaukee, I expect the same thing right here at Staples Center. Why wouldn't you? I mean, from a competitive standpoint, you don't think this Lakers team, they got it in the back of their mind? Anthony Davis was interviewed right before the Boston game. Was it before the Boston game? It was after the Lakers beat the Memphis Grizzlies on a Friday night. He was interviewed. And the question was, I'm basically paraphrasing this as best I can, but the question was something, do you remember, because you lost to the Boston Celtics and you lost that bad, do you remember? And AD cut off the reporter and was like, yeah, of course I do. Of course we remember that. We'll be ready for Sunday. And the Celtics were ready too. Lakers only got a 2-point victory. But how don't they remember that? How don't you remember when you're considered the elite of the elite in the NBA, and there's only a handful of teams that are like this, Lakers are one of those teams, when you're considered the top of the food chain and you got another team that's considered that as well and they both took you out, you're going to tell me Friday and Sunday aren't important? Oh, I definitely think they're meaningful. Let's go to Anthony in Inglewood. Anthony, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, buddy.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I enjoy the show. You take me home from work every evening.
Appreciate it, man.
I don't think the win against Milwaukee is as big as the win against Clippers, because the circumstances change in the let's say they meet the Bucks in the finals. The travel and everything is different. The schedule is different. So, but playing against the Clippers, I think they need that win, because they need to let the Clippers know that we know how to beat you. You don't want to go into the playoffs giving the Clippers a mental advantage, saying we know how to beat you and you can't, you know, you can't beat us. We know how to beat you. The Lakers need to send that message to the Clippers. We know how to beat you, because if it comes down to them meeting in the final Western Conference Finals here, of course, there's no travel. They just show up at the Staples Center. And if the Clippers have beat them every game at the Staples Center, that's going to give them a mental advantage.
Well, I was a little surprised, Anthony. I was a little surprised a little bit earlier in the show, and I appreciate you calling in. I had a caller call in and say that he'd rather beat the Bucks than the Clippers. I'm completely on the other side on that one. Definitely would rather handle business against the Los Angeles Clippers, and that's not. I don't want to go towards that conversation because that's not the conversation I'm going after. I'm really just trying to ask Laker fans, do you think these games are critical? These regular season games, do you think they're critical enough to where they kind of leak into the postseason? Just for the psyche of the Los Angeles Lakers, do you feel like games like this that you win in the regular season can have an effect in the postseason? I believe they do. I definitely think they do. Now, that doesn't mean when you get to the postseason, you're just sitting back and saying, oh my gosh, remember that loss we had back in December against this team? Or, man, that last time we lost in March, that's all I could think about. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. It is a veteran ball club. These are LeBron James has seen it all in his 17 years of his career. Anthony Davis has it, but LeBron has. Rondo has. Dwight Howard has. JaVale McGee has. Danny Green has. There's a lot of vets on this Lakers team that, you know, okay, this means more to them, this means less, whatever the case is. But statements are a critical part of a sports. Statements, this is a statement week for the Lakers. It's a statement week. You know, we walk away, I come back next Monday and do my Lakers talk show. I'm either going to be talking about how the Lakers handled business, and I couldn't be more confident walking into the postseason, or I'm sitting here telling you, I don't know what to do against the Clippers. We're 0-3 against them. Or, man, if we face the Bucks in the finals, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be one of those two conversations. Luke in L.A., you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Luke.
Hey, thanks for getting me on. And like everybody else, we do enjoy your show and your perspectives. And I'm going to be the voice of doom here.
Let's hear it.
Since the 70s, I go back to Wilt and Jerry West,
okay.
Listen to those guys on the AM radio.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is we may have a little edge on our 1 and 2 against both of those teams, 1s and 2s, but their 3s through 13s are just better than our guys. And it just doesn't really matter what our guys do. They're not as good of basketball players. And over 7 games, it's damn near impossible that we're going to beat the Bucks or the Clippers. These games in the regular season, they matter. They can give you a little confidence boost, but it doesn't really matter because at the end of the day, we miss too many open looks. LeBron can drive the lane, and when he kicks it out, those guys just don't knock down those shots. I'm not talking about percentages. You can skew the numbers here and there,
mm-hmm.
but the eyeball test, it just doesn't work. You know, KCP, these guys, when they miss bad, and they're open looks, and then a team gets a run out, all of a sudden that's a 5-point switch, or they come down and hit their 3, that's a 6-point switch. That happens 2 or 3 times in a row, and the Lakers can get away with that against these kind of scrub teams. But if they play like that and come down and have empty possessions and don't hustle back on D against these elite teams, and we've seen it this season, they find themselves down by 16, 18 points, and that's it, because we don't have the firepower to come back from that.
Luke, what do you think? Luke, what do you think happens Friday and Sunday?
Honestly, I think if those teams are full strength, I think if the Clippers play all their guys and they're all healthy, I think they win again. Maybe we can get by Milwaukee. I think we match up a little better against them, but I just don't think we can beat the Clippers. I mean, I hate to say that.
But by the way, Luke, I mean, even if you know, if that's your opinion, that's okay. Appreciate you calling in. I'll say this. There's been a lot of hype around the Clippers, and I watch it all, the first takes, the get-ups. There's been a lot of hype around the Clippers. They got to prove it, too. I mean, they got a brand new team. This is the first time they're all going to be going on a playoff run or a postseason run. I'm not going to question that the Clippers don't have depth. I'm not going to question that they don't have talent. But it's no guarantee that the Clippers... That's why I'm talking about Friday and Sunday being big barometer tests, statement games for the Los Angeles Lakers. One of two things can happen in these statement games. You either put a stamp on the NBA that it's coming through the Los Angeles Lakers if you want an NBA championship, or another team made a statement against you and the Bucks are saying, nope, it's coming through Milwaukee, or the Clippers are saying it's coming right through Staples, but it's not coming through the Lakers, it's coming through the Los Angeles Clippers. That's what will happen by the time this week is all said and done. That's what happens by the time we get to this time next week. All right, more of your guys' phone calls as we come back. 877-710-ESPN. I also want to talking a little bit about Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith. Both those guys worked out for the Lakers today. I want to give you guys give a full update, and I want to give some numbers on both of these players. One roster spot left for the Lakers after they waived Troy Daniels yesterday, so we'll do that coming up next. If you guys want to be a part of the show, it's 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. Visit your local Sprint store and find out how you can get $100 just for switching. Get a network bill for unlimited and a great price at Sprint. Hurry in now through Sunday, March 8th, to learn more. That's now through March 8th at Sprint. Appreciate Sprint's partnership. Appreciate all our partners. Hotel Fig, the Wallace Firm, Toyota and Lexus Santa Monica. Got a lot of Sincoro Tequila. A lot of great partners that are part of the show. All right, let's keep moving on here. I want to take a couple calls, and then we'll talk about that last roster spot for the Los Angeles Lakers. Eddie in Northridge, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, Al. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You got it, man.
I think the game against the Clippers is going to be bigger because I'm a huge Laker fan. And hearing any Clipper talk whatsoever just makes me sick to my stomach, to be honest with you. They're a good team, no doubt about it, but they're not the Lakers. I mean, because I'm more biased. I guess I grew up a Laker fan with Magic and the Shaq and Kobe teams, but Clippers haven't done anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know they beat us twice, but let's be honest. The Christmas game, I think we're 1-1, and this will be the tiebreaker, to be honest, because we gave that game away.
Here's the thing, Eddie. I'll say this. You know what? They handled business in that fourth quarter against the Lakers. I think I mentioned a little bit earlier, Lakers were outscored against the Clippers 60-43 in the second half. Okay, you know what? That one got away. Go redeem yourself this Sunday. 12:30 game on national television. Marcus Morris is now on your team, as is Markieff, part of the Lakers. Both rosters look like, I don't want to say healthy, because AD missed a game obviously yesterday. So did Alex Caruso. And I don't know how much of that was just precautionary reasons. Hopefully that's just part of the having such a sizable lead in the Western Conference. But Eddie, that game against the Clippers, I think it means something. I really, I'm not one to sit back and say that these regular seasons don't have any meaning.
Yeah, but you also mentioned what I do appreciate. The Lakers have a veteran group, and mm-hmm. I think LeBron. I still remember what LeBron did with those Cavs, 1-3, and came back and won Game 7 against Golden State. I think LeBron. Anyone can go back to that, no matter what. If we even go 0-4. LeBron's going to make sure that the team is ready and cooking when playoffs begin, because he's got one or two more years left in him. And it also reminds me real quick, I've been watching Birth of the Dynasty on Lakers, and I was thinking about Kobe and Shaq, and it was a bunch of role players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with the Lakers now with AD and LeBron and a bunch of role players. Obviously, I think the role players were a lot better back then with D-Fish and Big Shot Rob and Horace Grant and Ron Harper, but kind of reminds me of the team that Lakers dynasty that we had in late 90s, early 2000s.
Here's the question, Eddie. This is what it's going to come down to, and I appreciate you calling in. Anybody that wants to be a part of Lakers Talk, 877-710-ESPN. What it's going to come down to is how these role players come through. Because, you know, you just kind of corrected yourself right there, and you said, look, the role players the Lakers had back in those days when Shaq and Kobe were winning, or it was, Kobe and Powell. It was Lamar Odom. It was Andrew Bynum. It was Derek Fisher. It was Rick Fox. It was Robert Horry, Brian Shaw. I could kind of go down the list of all these players that at some point in the playoffs kind of had their fingerprints on what the Los Angeles Lakers were doing, had some kind of impact in a game or a critical game. You know, that's everything in the postseason. Just like, I'll use the Clippers as an example. If the Clippers role players don't come through in the postseason, that's a problem. Clippers aren't going to get past the Lakers. Role players are as big, you know, if the Toronto Raptors, I don't even want to talk about the Raptors because I think with the Golden State Warriors, it came down to injuries. That's how the Raptors got their championship. But their role players were critical. Every sport, it's the role players. The big-time players, you know, we don't have, there's no excuses for them. The big-time players, it's always up to them to come through. I was on a little bit earlier with Mason in Ireland. We're talking about, you know, the MVP chatter today that seemed like a big chatter between a lot of the nationally televised shows and then even the local shows between Giannis and LeBron James. I'll get into that a little bit later, maybe 8 o'clock hour or so. But it's just expected for LeBron to perform and be great. It's just expected for Anthony Davis to perform and be great. And I know I'm going a little bit off a topic here, but when we talk role players, that's the difference between every championship because your stars normally come through, even though I do feel Anthony Davis is going to have to play the best basketball of his life this postseason if Lakers are going to win an NBA championship. Kane in downtown L.A., appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
All right, so to me, this is a must-win for the Lakers. No excuses, no buts, no ifs against the Clippers. As a Lakers fan, I cannot take another loss by either one of those teams.
I'm with you.
And I must tell you, the Lakers need to play with more attitude. They got to get tougher. They got to get that Mamba mentality. Every single player in the Lakers needs to play with that purple and gold heart because the Clippers are playing their butts off, and the Lakers just need to play harder and be more physical. You know, I just don't feel like they're not fighting enough. You know, they just got to get in there.
Let me tell you something, Kane. I got a chance on, I think it was, appreciate you calling in. I think it was on Friday night. When did they play Denver? What day is it? I'm way off on my days. They played the Denver Nuggets a few nights ago, and you could tell the Clippers, they treated that game differently than they treated the game against Philly yesterday, right? And all I'm saying is I want the Lakers to treat these games against the Bucks and the Clippers differently than they treat the Memphis Grizzlies or the Pelicans. These aren't normal games. They're not. When I say they're statement games, I genuinely believe that. And you could also tell. What you're going to be able to tell is how the Bucks come out on how the Bucks come out on Friday and how the Clippers come out on Sunday, you could tell how important those games are to them. When I do the pregame show with MT, we were hyping up those two games. We were hyping them up like crazy between the Bucks and the Clippers back in December, and both of us kind of stood there disappointed that what the heck just happened here? You know, how did the Lakers allow the Bucks and the Clippers to get these W's? And then since then, all we've talked about is, well, you still got another shot in March. That's obviously going to be another opportunity for the Lakers. Paris and Redondo Beach. Go ahead, Paris.
Hey, Alan, how are you, man? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, brother.
Thanks. First time caller here, man. I love this show. Quick question for you. First, I absolutely agree that the games are super important. I'm kind of going back and forth myself on critical. My thought process there is, even if we win, I still think we're in for a fight at the playoffs.
Oh, no question about it. Absolutely.
If you're facing the Clippers or the Bucks, like, it's going to be a dogfight no matter which way it goes. I think a lot of people are trying to, like, look in a couple of years where Golden State was a runaway kind of, they're going to go through everybody, and I just don't think that exists this year. So it's going to be a fight, like, either way. So important, 100% critical. Maybe, but maybe not, because I don't want us, just because we win, to take it the other way, right, and end up not being prepared. But you were talking real quick about role players, and I was curious on your thoughts on this. It's something I haven't heard anybody talk much of on any of the shows I've been listening to, but 9-2. So if you look at numbers, on the Lakers roster right now, we got 9 championship rings between players. The Clippers have 2. And I'm curious on your thoughts. Regular season is different than playoffs. Playoffs is different than finals. And, like, in your mind, how does that help, or does that matter to you, that finals experience that we have that is a big difference in what the Clippers have.
Paris, the two the Clippers have, you're saying Kawhi with both of them, or is there another player?
That's the only one I can find is Kawhi.
By the way, I think you're right. All right, this is, I'll give you my thoughts, and I appreciate you calling in. That's a great topic, and that's a great point. Experience in life, period, is everything. So I'm definitely not going to downplay experience. Just think about what it is at your job. If you do something at your job and you did it for 10 years compared to somebody that did it for 2 or 3 years, you're running laps around them. You're running circles around them. Maybe this works. You could look at it both ways, right? You could say, well, some players for the Clippers who have never won a championship are hungry. But the thing is, Lakers got players. Anthony Davis, how many chips does he have? Let me count them up real quick for you guys. None. How many times has Anthony Davis been past the second round? None. You don't think AD's got something to prove this year? And by the way, Paul George has got something to prove. Montrezl Harrell, Patrick Beverley. We can go down the Lakers roster, players that never won NBA championships. So I think the experience that the Lakers have is huge. Absolutely. You know what else is big? The chemistry that the Lakers have. Can we start using all that Friday and Sunday? Can we use that to kind of prop up these games where you get another shot at two teams that I think it's impossible to win a championship this year unless you get through the Clippers and the Bucks? That's what it appears to be, right? Unless something dramatic and crazy happens in the postseason, you feel like that's going to happen. So to answer your question, is experience important? It's incredibly important. And I also think there's a lot of players between both of these franchises that have an incredible hunger to try and get their first chip. Emmett in Studio City, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Emmett.
Hi. I was just calling because, first of all, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
I think that, like, on paper, just sort of name recognition alone, you might give the edge to the Clippers in terms of their sort of bench unit and you know, like 9 through 12 guys. But as you were just talking about before, I think people undervalue the chemistry that the Lakers have as a team. It's kind of something I've never seen from a Lakers unit, let alone sort of any NBA unit in the past, like, decade or so, save maybe the Golden State Warriors. I think as long as the sort of the rotations are kind of run correctly and we're not giving, like, 20 minutes to Rondo, I think we sort of match up pretty well with the Clippers. I'm a little bit more worried about the Bucks in a general way, but on top of that, I think, you know, it is a little bit more heavily weighted as a game for me. I don't care, like, if you're a veteran or not. Like, mental edge is a real thing. You watch, you know, teams fall apart.
I agree. I 100% agree. Emmett, I'm going to ask you this real quick question because we got to go to commercial break. Between J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters, which of those two players? If it's coming down to one of those two players for the final roster spot, who do you like?
I think J.R. I think he's got, like, a pre-established relationship that's positive with LeBron. I think Deion Waiters just a little bit erratic. The one thing I would say about Deion, though, is that he kind of fits in with the whole, like, redeem team quality that we have going on between Dwight and a couple of our other guys.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. Appreciate you calling in, Emmett. J.R. Smith or Deion Waiters? It sounds like the Lakers, it sounds like it might be coming down to those two players as far as the final roster spot for the Los Angeles Lakers. Troy Daniels was released yesterday. So when we come back, I'll give you guys my thoughts. Got a lot of numbers to break down, too. J.R. Smith, how many playoff games he's played, Deion Waiters, his upside. We'll do all that. Both of them worked out for the Lakers earlier today. You had a report from Tanya Ganguly of the LA Times talk about that on the J.R. Smith front. Sham Sharania from The Athletic talk about that for the Deion Waiters front. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, I'm going to read off a quick tweet. Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times was told, in addition to Deion Waiters, J.R. Smith worked out for the Lakers today. His familiarity with LeBron and his shooting abilities are seen as pluses. The Lakers are no rush. Might bring in others. They have one vacant roster spot after waiving Troy Daniels. Tanya Ganguly does a great job with the LA Times. Covers the Los Angeles Lakers. So that leads me to obviously this topic. You got one roster spot right now. One roster spot left. By the way, I mentioned this in the postgame show yesterday. I really like the way the Lakers have treated the front office have treated these last couple of predicaments. The first one was with Markieff Morris, and the fact that they waived DeMarcus Cousins, but it felt like, you know, it didn't seem like so many times. People can say, well, it's nothing personal, it's business. But I feel like the Lakers, there's a personal side to it where, they feel like they're warm-hearted in the way they're doing things. And that's the right message you want to get off to the players. That's the right message. First of all, it's the right thing to do. And second of all, it's, I think, the right way of doing business. And the fact that DeMarcus Cousins still rehabbing at the training facility. You know how close DeMarcus Cousins was with all the players. I mean, you heard on the podcast with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, all the smoke. He talked about how much he loved being with the Lakers. 15 guys, or one guy goes to a movie, 15 guys go to a movie. So I felt like they handled that perfectly. And then this, this position with Troy Daniels where by waiving him yesterday, it gives Troy Daniels the ability to still sign with another team, potentially a playoff contender where he can be a piece. And we all know the Lakers, he was just going to be deep in the bench. In a long-winded way of me getting to, there's one spot left available. The conversation has been Dion Waiters or J.R. Smith. And that's not to say the Lakers are going to, sign one of these two players, but obviously they're since they worked both of these guys out at the Lakers training facility, the fact that they did that, that there's some interest in both of those players. So I want to point out here real quick. Let me point out for Laker fans some positives, some negatives with both of these players, and then I'll let you guys kind of give me your opinion of who you think would be a better fit for the Lakers. J.R. Smith. I'll start with J.R. 34 years old. Played 11 games last year, 0 games this year. Hasn't played in an NBA game since November of 2018. I'll tell you one of the things that is positive about J.R. Smith. He has 130 postseason games under his belt. 79 of those were in Cleveland when he was playing with LeBron James, 41% from the three in those 71 playoff games. The last 2 years with LeBron, he's averaged about 8 points per game. When I say with LeBron, before LeBron joined the Lakers when he was still with the Cleveland Cavaliers, shot 35% in 1 year and 37% from three. I think there's a perception on J.R. Smith, and I know we all just kind of think about in the NBA Finals when he dribbled out the clock in a tie game. Probably can't do that. Probably shouldn't do that. I know people think of J.R. Smith. That's the first thing they think of. But I'll say this also about J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith hit some big shots for the Cleveland Cavaliers. J.R. Smith is also one of those players that in a big-time moment, critical situation, yeah, he's good with that moment. He doesn't have a problem pulling up from 22, 23 feet, 25 feet, whatever the case is, and putting it on his shoulders to try and hit that game winner or that big shot in the fourth quarter, whatever the case is. Because I do feel like there's been times where J.R. Smith's got, the perception on J.R. Smith is he's not paying attention, he's this, he's that. Some of those are fair, but I thought J.R. Smith hit some big shots when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers. As for Dion Waiters, I'll give you his stats when we come back, and I'll give you some of his strengths, some of his negatives if he joined the Los Angeles Lakers. Just not even negatives, just things to keep an eye on when we talk about Dion Waiters. We'll do all that coming up next. If you guys want to give your thoughts on whether Dion Waiters or J.R. Smith would be a good fit, 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, real quick on Dion Waiters. Worked out with the Lakers today as well. I mentioned a little bit earlier, Sham Sharania said that from The Athletic, an impressive showing. First of all, he's represented by Clutch Sports. We obviously know he's getting another opportunity. Only played 3 games this season with the Heat. 28 years old. Last season, 44 games, 12 points per game, 37% from 3. I think between J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters, if it's a decision between those two players, I'm going to say that I think Dion Waiters has more upside, right? Like, because he's 28, because he's kind of, in a sense, right in the middle of his prime, there is more upside with Dion Waiters. I got faith in this front office that if Dion Waiters becomes a part of the Los Angeles Lakers organization, it's because he understands the opportunity that he's getting. And he understands that if he's going to come play for this team, he's got to do it simply because he's not going to ruin the chemistry. He's not going to ruin the obviously the big picture that this Lakers team has, LeBron has, Anthony Davis has. If Deion Waiters ends up on this roster, he's obviously convinced the front office and the players that he's going to do whatever is necessary to help the team. And that's all I care about. And I'm sure that's all every Laker fan cares about. If somebody's coming in for that final roster spot, I mean, listen, you can't have somebody come in that whatever was going on in Miami, those three suspensions or whatever the case is, I mean, you have to feel very, very good that this guy's going to come in and he's going to do all the right things and make all the right decisions. It is obviously a critical, important decision. So hopefully that's the case. But in my opinion, I think J.R. Smith has hit some big shots in his career. But I do think at age 34 and being this far removed from the game, that part concerns me. Deion Waiters, I think there's more upside. But at the end of the day, he's got to show that he's got that drive. He's got to show that he's coming to the Lakers to redeem himself like Dwight Howard has and some of these other players, that he's coming because there's something meaningful to him, and what's meaningful is an NBA championship. All right, let me take a couple quick calls here. Jay in Pasadena. Jay, what do you think, Deion Waiters or J.R. Smith?
Deion Waiters.
Give me some reasons. Give me some reasons
Deion
why.
Deion Waiters is going to be a better shooter. Like you said, he's younger, he's got some more upside. I think he didn't really have to convince the front office. It's Rich Paul had to convince the front office. And actually have Rich Paul say stuff for you would be that LeBron would also agree with that. So I think if they were actually going to propose to the Lakers an opportunity that LeBron liked, it would have to come from Rich Paul. So I don't think they're setting up – Rich Paul is setting up LeBron for failure by no means. And to have someone come in like Deion Waiters is probably of a high reference. And I think, like you said, you have to come in and want that redeem. But with – I think any player would know that that's what they have to do to be on the Lakers. That's the last role. But
especially Deion Waiters, too, because it's not like, you know, it's not like he's coming from a different team. Appreciate you calling in, by the way. It's not like he had a great stint in Miami and everything worked out perfectly, right? That's not the case. Here's Ramona Shelburne a little bit earlier today on The Jump.
The Lakers are working out Deion Waiters today, according to Woj and Dave McMenamin. Ramona, would Waiters be a good fit with the Lakers?
Yeah, he would. I mean, he's exactly what they need, which is a guy who can score, create his own shot. It doesn't need LeBron James to get a shot for him. However, you don't add a guy like Deion Waiters to a team like the Lakers that has such good chemistry and has harped on their chemistry unless you are sure that his head is in the right place and so is his heart.
That's what it comes down to. That was Rachel Nichols in the beginning. That's what it comes down to. So that's the point that I'm making. If that's why I'm saying I have faith in the front office that if he comes, if Deion Waiters ends up on this roster, there's a reason. The reason would be they feel very, very confident that Deion Waiters is turning the page and he's looking at the Lakers as an unbelievable opportunity to go win an NBA championship and also kind of change his perception and his name around, which certainly was not that's not a good perception coming out of Miami. Anthony and Downey, what do you think, Anthony? J.R. Smith or Deion Waiters? You there, Anthony? All right, let's go to Danny in Anaheim. Danny, what do you think? What should the Lakers do with that last roster spot? Danny, you there, buddy?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. You know, for me, I think that the best option isn't in either of those players. I actually like Jamal Crawford. And I know he's a little older, and I get that. But I just think that he's kind of more of an equivalent with Lou Williams. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he could be our version of Lou Williams. He's a good three-point shooter. He's not as good as a three-point shooter as Deion Waiters, but, I mean, he has that experience. I think he can handle the ball. When LeBron comes off, he can, you know, he can take on that role. I just think he might be a good option.
Danny, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to Jalen Rose. He was on. Appreciate you calling in, by the way. He was on. Was it last night or was it today? Here's Jalen Rose on Jamal Crawford specifically.
This time last year, man. Jamal Crawford was in the NBA averaging 30-plus points in the month of April. Mm-hmm. And he's not in the league. They see Lou Williams in the same building constantly.
Yeah.
He could give them a version of that.
All right, so Jalen Rose likes the Jamal Crawford angle. Yeah, just real quick on Jamal Crawford, so for those that don't know, turns 40 on March 20th. 40. Has not played a game this season. Did play 64 games last year with the Suns. Averaged about 8 points per game. Shot 33% from three. You know, Jamal Crawford's one of those guys. Nobody, put it this way, you're not going to have any chemistry issues with Jamal Crawford. Kind of one of the class acts of the NBA. Unbelievable career. A lot of people respect him. Just 40. You know, like that's a concern. The concern would be at this stage of his career and hasn't played a game all season long. Let's just say that would definitely be a little bit of a gamble. But then again, it's the final roster spot, so it's not that big of a deal. Final roster spot. So I mean, listen, I know the Lakers, we talk about they can play 10, 11 different guys. It is probably not this much hype if it was a different team, but because it's the Los Angeles Lakers, there's obviously a lot of hype around that final roster spot. And I'm not going to tell you that the Lakers don't need help. They can use some help. If Dion Waiters was a Dion Waiters that he's got the capability of being, yeah, that's a good pickup. That's a great pickup. The hope is that he is exactly that, not just the player that we saw in Miami for only three games, by the way. All right, we come back. We're going to do some shootout, myself and Michael Funches. If you're waiting to be a part of the show, and I know there's a ton of callers, and we appreciate everybody that's called in so far. We'll take some calls a little bit later in the show when we talk a little bit more about this MVP chase and how LeBron James isn't getting enough respect. Shootout coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.